What I want to do today is talk to you a little bit about heaven. And the reason that I want to do that is, well, first of all, to encourage you. And then secondly, to encourage you to remind the people that you're counseling that this isn't all there is. It's not all there is. May God be praised forever. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity. Lord, thank you for these dear sisters who have laid down their lives and have given up a week and resources to be here so that they can love others. Surely that is a sign of your good grace in their life. So I pray that you'd help us now. Enable us, Lord, please, to hear and believe. And would you please fill our hearts with joy and anticipation of our eternity to come. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So why talk about heaven in a conference about counseling? We want to talk about heaven because this is the way that the writers of the New Testament encouraged the people who were facing their daily lives. And actually, when you begin to try to find this topic in the New Testament and of course the Old, it's really everywhere. This is how the people of that were first hearing the message, this is how they were being encouraged in the midst of great persecution and suffering. Now, let's say that I hired you to work for me for a year as a janitor. Like, I would say, ain't happening. But anyway, let's, you know, for the sake of the story, let's say that I hired you for a year to work for me as a janitor. Now, how would your attitude change if, first of all, I told you at the end of the year I'll give you $10,000 compared to if I said at the end of the year I'm going to give you $10 million? Would you be a little bit more content about what you had to do every day if you knew that at the end of the year you were going to get 10 mil? I mean, seriously, you'd do almost anything, almost, you know what I'm saying. You would do that work sort of with more of a joyful heart, right? And sort of with more of a, yeah, okay, I'm doing this now, and maybe I don't like scrubbing these toilets, but this isn't all there is, and the day is coming when I'm going to get 10 mil. See, that's why we need to think about heaven. Because I'm saying to you, what you have coming towards you is far better than $10 million. But when we lose sight of it, we begin to feel like people who are getting paid minimum wage. So that's why we talk about it. Now, what I'm going to do this morning is I'm not talking to you about eschatology. I don't care, personally, when you believe whoever goes up or comes down or, you know, whatever. I don't care. This has nothing to do with that. Okay? So you put that into your theology wherever it is. And I think our problem is we spend a lot of time talking about that other sort of business of who's going up and who's coming down and all of that stuff. Because the thought of heaven in some ways is so sort of out there that it's easier to talk about current events and, you know, what's going on in the Middle East than it is to do this. So this isn't a talk about eschatology. There's so much we don't know, no matter what theology, you know, if you're pre-trib or post-trib or all-mill or I don't care. Okay? Why did I write a book about heaven? I never set out. I actually had a contract to write a different book. And then I went through a series of circumstances in my life that made me want to know about heaven. The circumstances started out with a beloved pastor falling into sin and resigning. then it sort of continued along. It was almost as though I got to the place where I sort of felt like saying to the Lord, excuse me, but this is a little heavy-handed. It started out with that beloved pastor falling into sin, and then it ended, and then a number of other people who were friends of mine doing the same thing. And then it ended with the death of a beloved uncle who had functioned as my dad. And I began to experience a sadness and a longing for some. I got to the place where I would get up in the morning and I would say something like this, and I'm sure you've said it as well. Things really ought to not be like they are. You know, whether you get up and read the headlines or you just get up and think about what's going on in your life, sooner or later, if it doesn't happen every single day, you say something like that. Things ought to not be like they are. And I recognized that what was going on in my heart was something that we could quantify or call homesickness. I was homesick. I wanted to wake up in the morning at a place where everything was as it should be. Where righteousness was everywhere. I wanted that. And I realized that what that sadness and longing was that I was feeling was homesickness. And, you know, when you talk to your counselees, I think, you know, you want to be aware of the fact that maybe some of what they're suffering from, that you shouldn't be telling them, oh, you know, you need to get over that, is homesickness. We're homesick. We want to be at the place where, you know, it's the place where you can go in and feel welcome. Feel known and welcomed. See, both. Known and welcomed. We're longing, all of us are longing for that place. We're always trying to find it here. Which is why we used to watch Extreme Makeover, Home Edition, you know? Cost me about $95,000.
Oh, that's pretty. I think I'll do that in my house.
See, so there's nothing wrong in trying to create a space that is friendly and warm and welcoming and a place where the people in your family can be at rest and at peace. But no matter what you do to your house, you're not going to have it here. Which is why every couple of years you got to change it all up. Because it just, you know, it never satisfies. A little while. Oh, yeah, this is, oh, no. So we left the wonderful house where I had spent all that money. And then we've moved into another house. And just the other day before we were getting ready to leave, of course, I discovered a leak in the faucet in the sink, you know. So what does that mean? That means I got to get a new faucet. So the plumber comes in and he says, what kind do you want? And I said, I really don't care. He says, no, you got to tell me. I said, show me pictures. I don't know. I don't care. And so I said, oh, yeah, that's cool. Get that. And he got it and he put it in and I looked at it and I said, that's really great. Now it's that sort of nickel, you know, the sort of burnished nickel sort of pretty thing. And then I looked at the rest of my appliances. So what started out costing me about $400, who knows where that's going to end? See, it doesn't matter. You're not going to ever make this place home. It doesn't, America, and I love my country, is not ever going to be the place where righteousness dwells. I don't care who the president is. Okay, you get that? So we're homesick, and we're always trying to make this place into home. And it's never going to be that. Now, does that mean I don't care about this place at all?